Hello, everybody, and welcome to the After the Sermon podcast, where we discuss the text that we looked at the previous Sunday, and as we prepare for life groups and having this conversation with one another. Pastor Matt, I'm here with Pastor Ben, and I'm the host today because you stepped in and preached from Malachi chapter 3 while I was away. We got two more sermons. Well, one more. We'll wrap up Malachi this coming week. But you easily, for sure, took the easiest passage of Scripture out of this series that everybody gets right, and no one takes out of context because nobody is greedy and wants this passage of Scripture to be turned into God's endless bank account where we all become millionaires.
Yeah, and all I did was just, you know, I realized I just copy and pasted a whole bunch of sermons that were all the same because
it's so simple. It's right there. If you say the magic words, God gives you billions upon billions of dollars.
Yeah, it explains why we're so rich.
Exactly. And I'm waiting for that to hit my bank account. Do you know when it happens?
There's the 3 to 5 business days for okay. The routing from heaven to earth.
Which means a day is like 1,000 years to God. Is that how it works?
I think so.
It explains it. Obviously, we joke because you mentioned this, that this is a passage of Scripture that is highly taken out of context. And there's more to it than just what the plain meaning of the meaning we want it to be, because it's not saying God's not concerned about our financial needs, but there's more to this. And you did a great job just helping us think through it. So give us a summary of what God, through the prophet Malachi, is telling his people.
Yeah. So up to this point, we've seen these different areas of life that the returned exiles are just struggling in. And so in this case, it's talking about their tithes and contributions to the Lord. And I love the transition from out of the last passage talking just about the judgment, the righteous judgment of God. And then he tells them, I don't change. And because of that, you all are not consumed. Just reminding them that they deserve to be destroyed and judged just like the people that they were trying to point out that God wasn't taking care of. And then reminds them very specifically that they have not followed the things that he's told them to do. They have not kept his statutes. And then, again, these points of light that we see throughout the minor prophets, he says, as he said before, return to me, and I will return to you. Right? There's this beautiful picture of just the generous love of God, the mercy that he has, and this his desire to have his people just follow him and give their hearts entirely over to him. And then they say, how shall we return? Which, like,
I wish God made it clear.
You ever want to slap somebody? Because that's what I feel like when I read that. It's just, we do it too.
Yeah.
I brought that up on Sunday of we've become so delusional that we think we're doing everything right, or we look at the world around us and if the world is doing, why would I change what I'm doing if I'm not getting the things I think I, and then God goes into this picture of robbing him, which is, I can't imagine going up to God and being like, this is a stick up, but
God's, oh, I'm surprised. So I do.
Oh man. So this, I think Malachi gets just, or God through Malachi is just more and more frustrated. He's just using these sort of extreme examples. And again, people of Israel asking, how have we robbed you? And then he points out, he says, you have not given the way you're supposed to in your tithes and contributions, right? It sounds like they are not giving fully what they're supposed to, which is just the most basic level of it. But really what we're knowing is that it's the attitude that they have.
Yeah.
The lack of giving is showing that their heart is based on, I want to provide for myself. I want to make sure that I'm safe and secure. They're not looking for God, looking to God for that. And he says a very strong statement of, put me to the test, bring in the full tithe, and don't see if I don't bless you until there is no more need. All right, I'll rebuke the devourer. I'll have you be in such a great state that all the other nations will say, man, you are blessed. You are a land of delight. And so this testing here is really, it's great because of the promise on the other side of that test, because God says, I'm not going to fail the test. But it's also terrifying because if God says, hey, test me,
yeah,
that's I imagine, I think it was last week, you talked about parents and punishment. Imagine as a kid going, your dad saying, test me in this.
Yeah.
Try me out. Oof. That's not a good place to be right in. And this is the point where, again, when we talk about money, we talk about giving, it's just taken so out of context, the idea that God says, yeah, test me with your money. Put your $1 bill in and a $5 bill will come out. A, the text definitely doesn't say that inherently. But also we know that it's really God providing in the way that he always said that he would provide. He's always said that he will provide and protect. And we get to see that played out practically when we do follow his commands, in this case, the command of giving back to God.
Yeah. I read this passage of scripture and I hear sermons, and there's a lot of plot holes to their sermons and their content, because you look around the world and you can make the argument where God has actually failed to meet what he said in these verses, which has its issue in and of itself. And the people that take it out of context are prosperity gospel preachers that mostly, I mean, we can do it ourselves as well, where they say great faith comes great financial gain. And God's never promised that, ever. He's promised to provide, but ultimately promise he always keeps is to provide salvation for those who call upon his name. And so when I look through this verse, these passages of scripture, something we say often and is when we talk about giving, because every pastor loves talking about it, God's not concerned about the amount you give. He's concerned about your heart. How do we see that play out in this text?
Yeah, it harkens back to that questioning that, how shall we return? How have we robbed you? It's first not recognizing just the true state of things, right? Because we know that God already owns everything.
Correct.
He's provided every opportunity that we have. He's made us the way that we are. So whatever your skills and talents are, it's easy to fall into the trap of, I worked really hard, or I practiced a lot, I did schooling, I did this, I did that. But every single one of those things begins and ends with God.
Yep.
So it doesn't matter what flavor of life you're in. That's really just a reflection of the creativity of God and just how cool it is that we don't just all do the same thing.
Right.
And so as they're, again, not relying on God, it's not seeing just his ultimate ownership of everything.
Yeah.
And not even just ownership, but also it's his provision. If he's providing it, it's not ours to begin with.
It's the same. What do you get the person that has everything? Like it's not like God needs our money. Mm-hmm. He owns all of it. Every bit belongs to him. And he's the creator. He's the sustainer. He's going to be the renewer. He's going to restore everything back to his original design. So the idea that we give because God needs every penny is false. What God longs, as you said and reiterated, he longs for our hearts to be in step with him and his commands and his goodness and grace. That's what he longs for. And so if our disobedience, one of our family traits that we pray through on Sunday, is we want to be obedient disciples. That's a heart posture first and foremost, because you can give everything.
1 Corinthians
13. Yep. And have not the love of Christ and this heart posture and all of this, and just miss the point completely. So I love that you started there. This is about the heart of God's people, because God longs for us to be right there. But connect, talk a little bit more, as you did on Sunday, of why God's using this example of giving to get to the heart of the matter.
Yeah, see that this attitude of giving is longstanding all the way back to Abraham. And even, I didn't really talk about it on Sunday, but even Cain and Abel, right? There's an idea that this giving back to God is a recognition of our position compared to who God is. And so, you know, a part of why this concept of giving and tithing is included in the law and in the just expectations of people is because that's one of the ways that God protects and preserves our hearts from becoming obsessed with money.
Right.
Even in the New Testament, 1 Timothy talks about the love of money is the root of all evil. Jesus says you can't serve both God and money. There's, I don't know where it ranks in the listing of things that gets talked about as far as a sin, but I would guess that money and its the issues around it is pretty high.
Yeah.
So this sense of robbing God, of not letting go of the things, and to be fair for these people who have seen in their history that they've lost everything and they're coming back and they lose everything and they come back and the lands around them maybe look like they're doing better. They look like this prosper that they so desire, but they also don't realize that the promise of God to prosper his people is an ultimate promise, not a immediate in the moment promise.
Correct. Because giving or lack of giving reveals a lot of how we view God. And you touched on this a little bit where we understand like in our giving that God is he's providential in nature. He's provider. He meets our needs. He's sovereign. So why do we often miss the connection? And it goes with anything with the law. You plug in lust here too. It's a poor take on who God is. So why do we need to see the greatness of God's generosity towards us from this text?
Yeah, in all areas, again, not just giving, it's a recognition of what we need is found fully in Christ.
Yeah.
Our hope, our peace, our contentment, if we are replacing that with Jesus with money, or we're replacing it with pornography, or we're replacing it with status, right, family, whatever it might be, those things always fall short.
Yep.
Because they are the created things, not the creator.
Yeah. Anytime we go after the created thing, it will always fall short compared to the creator. And I think money's a great, it's tangible. We rely on it. Well, not even in the bad sense.
Right.
Like you need money.
I was going to say, it's easy to say money is my provider because I buy food.
Yeah.
It's my shelter.
Yeah.
It's all these things that you look at the Psalms, who's my shelter?
Yeah.
The Lord is my shelter.
The Lord is my shelter.
And that's not to say sell your house and be homeless. It's not the point either. But when you put place your hope on the stuff.
Yeah. It's a focus. Do we focus on what is temporal? Or do we focus on what is eternal? And there's a difference there. And that's what Jesus is trying to hit at all throughout the Sermon on the Mount. Mm-hmm. Cannot serve God or money. Do you serve what is eternal or do you serve what is temporary? And so it's easy to think in this temporary moment, what I need more of is money. And yet, as more money, more problems. It never satisfies. There's always, I have to have more. But Jesus, even the woman at the well, is, I'm living water. I am everything that you need for all of eternity. Jesus is not a temporary. And I love how the beginning of this chapter, this context begins with, I never change. Mm-hmm. Goodness, you look at the dollar and the changes it's made over the last 20 years. The stock market's always changing. Money, it loses value, it gains value. God is always the same. And so it's just I love that the focus, even though the application from this is on giving, but the focus is, hey, this is a heart issue in line of how you view the Lord and how you view the things of this world. And if it's not by doing that we return, I want to believe in the greatness of who God is and all that he is. Okay, so let's deal with the text here that says, test me. Because you dealt with the Deuteronomy passage and Jesus and the temptation, whereas you should not test the Lord. So what do we do here?
Yeah, it's...
I'll let you try it first.
Yeah,
whatever happens to you, I will...
Yeah. So again, the context is so important, which is
always important.
That's not unique to this passage, but
can we hold your thought while I interrupt? this is why you have to look at this passage in light of the whole book and how it gets piggybacked and taken out of context. It doesn't fit. So context always matters when studying scripture.
This is probably the second or third most, I think top one is probably Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me while I'm in chains in prison. And
correct. Yeah. Yes.
But yeah, so this, again, we've seen from the very beginning of this book, it's like a little kid almost, the way that they're asking questions. How have you loved me? How have we wearied you? These sort of extreme examples that on some level, we know that God doesn't get weary. We know that God has never, his love has never ended. We know that God isn't being robbed or can't be robbed, rather. But Malachi's using these sort of human, this kind of personification, these human things to help us understand the divine frustration that's happening. And so in this case, as we've gotten deeper and deeper into just how far away the Israelites are, he is telling them in this moment, these people who are currently listening to the message of Malachi, hey, test me in this. Trust me. You have no idea how much I can provide. You have no idea how good I am. And you are so far away from understanding that I am telling you people of Israel, you exiles, come bring me my tithe and I will pour out a blessing that will make you so blessed that the nations will see it.
Yeah.
But it is a message to the people that Malachi is speaking to.
Right.
It is not this eternal sentiment. God is not saying, test me in this. Anyone who wants to think that I'm not going to provide for them.
Right. Yeah. And so often it's easy to say, I'm going to give $1,000 and God's going to give me $2,000 back in return. He could do it. Like, I'm not saying he can't and he won't. Like, the Lord's, we both have examples of how the Lord has been generous in providing needs from a financial standpoint.
Yeah. But I think the difference is the attitude of giving isn't out of I'm trying to get.
Correct.
Right? It's the Christmas present scenario. If I give enough gifts to this person, I'm going to get the gift that I want.
Correct. Yeah.
And
yeah, God, it is the heart posture going back to it. So as we wrap up, you mentioned some applications at the end because giving is an application out of this. What can we do as church members, as Christians in a local church context, how can we apply this text to our church today?
Yeah, so I think the first thing is just considering the question of what do I give, right? So if that number is currently zero, then that's the first place to start to work through. The tithe is 10%. So we talked about we're being under grace, we should be generous. So that 10% is not a hard and fast rule. If anything, right. You know, it could be more, but, and I don't necessarily always like the idea of I'll start with 1% and then increase to 2%. That's not changing your heart.
Correct.
But I think there is an element of when you start to give and you realize that you're giving back to the God that gave it to you to begin with, that act of giving and the reason that it's a command of God is because it will start to change your heart.
Yeah.
And sometimes we have to start the pump. We got to prime that pump in order to get it going. So it's not about, oh, I'm just going to start giving 10%. If that's your attitude, or especially if it's, I don't know what's going to happen. This is going to be bad. Your heart hasn't changed. You haven't understood that it's God who owns it and God who wants to show you just how well he can provide.
Yeah. And I think there's this misnomer. I'll start giving when I have money. It's actually harder to give when you have money. This is from my experience. Mm. It is more joyful in our giving when it's, yeah, I can see this number and how it, if I kept this to myself, how it would help this pay for this or whatever. But there's more joy in obedience to the Lord. And his commands are not burdensome. So to say, I'll start giving when I have more money, it's always interesting to me when people get more money and they still don't give because it's a heart issue. The widow's mite. She gives 2 pennies, to use language that we're familiar with. And God said her heart, Jesus said her heart is more pure. I can't remember the exact language, is more pure than the one who gave a bunch. Mm-hmm. And so what does it say about my heart if I'm not, as a Christian, I'm not giving? Do I trust God to provide for my needs? Do I trust God? I look at it this way. If I can trust God with my eternal salvation, why do I have such a hard time trusting him in my temporary life? And so, man, the Lord can take it away from me. He owns it all. He did it with Job. He can take it away from me in a moment. I trust God in this. And it's a lifelong learning. You're always learning to trust the Lord. I think the Lord longs for us to trust him more and more through life. And so if I'm not obeying these commands to be a cheerful giver, to love my neighbor, you know, you can keep going, then what does that actually say how I view the Lord? And that's why giving is an important part of that, because it says, okay, Lord, I trust you. You will provide. But it also helps us weed out greed and contentment. And there's a lot that it's connected to at the heart level. See, and it's freeing to give. God's not taking away from us. He's giving to us the freedom of knowing that our lives are secure in his hands, even in this temporary life that we have.
And it's also, as we give specifically to the church, not just randomly to a charitable thing, it's putting a weight on the mission of God is the most important thing, right?
Correct.
Because that's the eternal reward. And so if we really truly believe that the local church is the place that God is working to change our community, and we're not willing to contribute to that financially, then we're probably also not contributing to it personally.
Yeah, that's good.
And really, if you say, I have a hard time sharing the gospel with people, maybe part of the question is, do you have a hard time sharing your money with God?
Okay, what about time? Should we swap out? I give with my time.
Yeah, that's serving is another command of God, yeah. a separate command. And I went into pretty big detail on Sunday as far as making the case of this idea of giving is a financial contribution. It is coming out of the earnings of your work, not just an ethereal concept of we love to say time is money, but it actually isn't.
It's also just from experience, the people that say this are usually not doing anything anyways to serve. So it's
like justification is empty.
Yeah. All right. So if someone heard your message and Holy Spirit leads them, what are some steps that we can share with those who are just now giving for the first time? And then we'll do steps, I don't know if steps are right, encouragement for those giving for the very first time and encouragement for those who have been giving. And you shared some of this on Sunday, but in the last 90 seconds.
Yeah, I think for a new giver is really take that time to, I guess it's for both really, but to pray over, okay, God, you've asked us to give, I'm giving, use this for the benefit of your kingdom. That, when, again, helps to start to change our attitude if we realize we're not just giving to the church because God told us to, we're not giving to the church because I like the pastor or I like the music or whatever, but really it's using that obedience, or God uses our obedience to help accomplish his will.
Yeah.
He'll do it without us. What a joy it is to be a part of that.
Right.
I think for the regular giver, it's easy, just like anything else, any other spiritual discipline, for it to become just
mundane,
a habit.
Routine,
And habits are not a bad thing, but when they are no longer sparking our hearts to look to our Creator, maybe it's time to again, take some time to look at it. Maybe this might sound counterintuitive and Matt might disagree, but stop doing auto payments for a month and force yourself to write a check, force yourself to get on the app or do whatever it is so that you are really feeling that moment of, okay, this is God's provision to me and it is my joy to give it back.
Yeah, you can. There's people that this is why they write a check or they do cash. And they have to go and pull out this specific and hold that and pray over it. And we've done all of these in our own. Julie and I have done this together because this is, as a married couple, we could talk more about this. This is something we do together. But we've also changed that percentage where it's not just 10 because that's easy math. Or where it's a change of the percentage a little bit to make you have to think, okay, I don't know how much percent of this is, all right, or whatever. It forces you to think about it. And then at the same time, Lord, use this for your glory in our community. we already know you own it. We're just giving back what already belongs to you, because in the end, God gets it.
Yeah.
One way or another. Yeah. So thanks for the encouragement on Sunday, not only to faithfully teach this text, but to encourage us to direct our hearts in tune with the Lord in all things, but an application to, hey, participate in this good gift that God's allowed us to participate in with Him together. And so as we talk through this in life groups and throughout the week, as you pray about it, I hope that we can just maybe even set aside just some time to repent where we've failed to hand over all to the Lord.
Joke I didn't make, but we know that God is forgiving, but He's also forgiving.
Oh, that's good. We should turn that into a t-shirt.
But then all the proceeds have to go to the church.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Not to our new jet.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks again. We'll be closing out the book of Malachi this coming Sunday. Really looking forward. I just love how it closes. No spoilers, but you don't want to miss it. And you can read at the great day of the Lord, what that looks like and the hope that God gives us. It's been a good book to work through as we look at the greatnesses of God's generosity, His love, all of it. And our prayer throughout all of this, and continues to be so, is that we will see and behold the greatness of God. To do that trickles down to relationships, money, serving, our sharing the gospel as we seek to be obedient disciples and make much of the glory of the Lord. Grace Life, we love you. We're for you and we're thankful for you. And if there's any way we can help you navigate any of these conversations, whether it's around greed or pride or lust or whatever, as you seek to follow the Lord, we want to help and encourage you along the way. Love you guys. We'll see you Sunday.